I would say to our guys in the sound booth, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 1 today, so if you could find that. We're going to be just looking at a couple of short verses this morning, but to get us thinking about this passage of Scripture and perhaps what God would really have us today to think about and focus on, do you remember that time in the Old Testament when God appeared to Solomon? And he said to Solomon, ask me whatever you will. You remember? I mean, basically God was saying, Solomon, I'm going to give you your prayer request. I'm going to give you whatever you would ask me right now. You know, when you think about that, it's kind of mind-numbing to think that you could come to the Lord and just ask him something that you knew he was going to give you when you ask him. But if there only was one thing, what would it be? I want you to think about that today as we really focus on God's Word and by His Spirit. If there was just one thing that you could ask of the Lord now, today, this day, that you knew for sure that He would give you, what would that one thing be? I'll leave you with that as we open God's Word today. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at just a couple of verses. What we find here in the book of Ephesians in the first chapter is Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer for people that he loved, loved dearly. The Christians in Ephesus were always really close to Paul. He spent a couple of years there after he had planted the church. He spent a couple of years just ministering to the Ephesian church, and you know he loved them. He really did. And so in this passage of Scripture, you see his heart as he reveals his best prayer, his highest prayer for them. And that's what we're going to focus on. So the verse starts out, verse 1, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. For this reason. Well, we're having an interesting time in Bible study on Wednesday nights, in digging into God's Word and actually doing study. You know, study is different than just reading. It's a wonderful thing just to read God's Word. And to enjoy it, just reading and allowing God's Spirit to speak to you. It's another thing to really dig in and study, to do a Bible study. And we're really having some fun in Wednesday nights just digging into a passage of Scripture and finding out really the depths of what it means. And we're talking about things like this. When you see a phrase like therefore, like Jim said on Wednesday night, you got to find out what it's there for. When you see a phrase like, for this reason, you know that what he is saying, what he's about to say, connects to what he has just said. And what you find out in the earlier verses of this first chapter in Ephesians is Paul is reminding them of the incredible spiritual blessings that they have been given in Christ because of their salvation. Paul is reminding them of the power of all the blessings of God. In the ancient church, whenever you gave God praise for his blessings, it was called a doxology. Now, how many here can remember the old doxologies? Anybody? Sure, absolutely. I mean, as a matter of fact, that one hymn sometimes was sung in traditional churches. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You remember that? That was called the doxology because it praised God for his blessings. That's what Paul is really doing right here. He is praising God for his blessings. We know that God is the source of all blessings. Amen? In fact, that wonderful scripture tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. It says that in him there is no shadow of turning. And what that means is that he is always the same. He is faithful. He can be counted upon. He can be trusted. He is who he is, and he does not change in regard to his character. When we read that God is loving, that never changes. When we read he's holy, that never changes. When we read he's faithful, that never changes. He is steadfast. Amen? That's why that song, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, right? His mercies never come to an end. And then, of course, it says, they're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That's what Paul is doing here. He is expounding upon the blessings of God in the verses leading up to this. And that's why he says, for this reason, for all those blessings that I know you have in Christ Jesus, he says, I have heard about your faith and the love you have for the saints. In other words, he's saying, I know these blessings are true for you because you are truly saved. Now, that's a pastor speaking to people that he shared Christ with, sharing Christ to the point where they believed upon it and received from God the gift of salvation. You know how that works. Remember back to the day of your salvation if you can. Think about that day of salvation when you know you truly did believe in who Jesus is and you truly did understand what he did for you on the cross, and you ask him to forgive you. You ask him to come into your life, and you know that he did. You know, not everybody has that experience. The fact is that not everybody that just goes to church is truly saved. We know that, and I don't need to pound on that, but it's the truth. It's like that one guy said, walking into a church doesn't make you any more a Christian than walking into a garage makes you a car. It's not just coming that does it. It's when you come to that point of faith and you personally ask God to be your Savior and your Lord. But there's more. Paul went on to say, I've seen this faith. I've heard about your faith and about the love you have for all the saints. In other words, he was saying, I heard about the evidence of your salvation. The evidence of your salvation. You see, the truth is if there is no evidence to your salvation, then you got to ask yourself, am I truly saved, right? The evidence that Paul was pointing to, by the way, is probably the best evidence, and that is your love for others. You know, that doesn't come just natural to everybody. That's the truth of it. You know, it's sometimes hard to be loving. It's sometimes hard to love others like God loves them. Amen? But when God comes into your life and he begins to change your heart, he does make it possible to love others. He really does. And that is certainly one of the most powerful evidences of your faith. And that's why Paul could give thanks. He had confidence. He had confidence that all those blessings were going to flow into their lives because they were truly right with God. And as a result, he was giving thanks. Giving thanks is a good thing. Amen? There's a lot of reasons for giving thanks. I mean, you know, think about in your life, you know, all the moments that you have just taking the time to say thanks to God. You know, I bet you it's for a lot of things, right? Sometimes little things, sometimes not so little things that you give thanks for. You know, it's a wonderful thing for Chet to be able to include in the announcements today that he is thankful that he went back to the doctors again, and in the blood test, it revealed zero cancer. I mean, that's a good thing to give thanks. Do you know why he gives thanks? Not only is it due to God, but you know what? He wants to express thankfulness to God, wants to express it. And that's a good thing. It does our heart good to express our thanks to God. You know, gratitude and thanksgiving are hand in glove, right? Gratitude. And gratitude is birthed, by the way, out of humility. Amen? For example, one of the things that is really hard to encounter in the world of ours today is encountering people that have what I call an entitlement mentality. You know what I mean, the entitlement. Like they believe that life owes them something, that everybody owes them something. And you can tell that mentality when you get around people. And usually people like that are not thankful people. The entitlement mentality actually caused grumbling, not thankfulness. But thankfulness grows out of a posture of humility, of recognizing just, how much we have to give thanks for. Now, Paul, because of these reasons to give thanks for the Ephesian believers, it says it always causes him to remember them every time that he prays. In other words, he was saying, you're constantly in my prayers. Now, let me ask you something. Why is he praying for them? Is it because he's fond of them? Sure, I'm sure. We pray for those that we love and are fond of, amen? I mean, don't we in our prayers, maybe even daily prayers, kind of just remember those we love the most, our family in our prayers? Don't we do that? Don't we just, you know, thank you, Lord, and pray for them, sometimes in detail for each one, because we love them. So love and caring is certainly a reason why we pray for somebody. We pray for those we love. But you know what? To really understand why Paul is praying here for the Ephesians, you have to look at what he is praying for them. Does that make sense? To understand why he wants to pray for them, why he remembers them constantly, you have to look at what he's praying for them. And that's what I want to do with you today. Let's look at what he's praying for. Here's what he says in verse 17, Ephesians 1 in verse 17. He says, I keep asking, continually ask. Every time I pray, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. All of these words are just packed with meaning. He's talking about the glorious Father. It literally in the original language was the Father of glory. The Father of glory. You know, in Scripture, glory often refers to that which God makes visible of himself. Think about it. Remember what Paul is praying here about what he wants for the Ephesians. And he uses this word, the glorious Father, for a reason. The glory of God is that which he often in Scripture makes visible to those who seek him. Remember Moses? Show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. In the Old Testament, that glory related to the light, the Shekinah, the glow, right? The incredible presence of God. Did you know that when you were born again, God came to you in his glory? Do you know that just like that old ancient hymn sings, heaven came down and glory filled your soul? I wish, I really do pray that sometimes that people could see what happens on the inside. Because if you could see what happened on the inside when you received Christ, you'd be a happier camper. You know what I mean? You would really get excited if you could see your inner person and truly understand the power of what happened in you when you received Christ and the glory that filled your soul. You'd feel pretty special, and you should. The Lord of glory came down and filled your soul. Now, given that context in this book of Ephesians where Paul is speaking, he's talking about the Heavenly Father, our glorious Father, who reveals his glory to us who are saved, who reveals something of himself, his character, of who he is. Paul is speaking to saved people, right? He's speaking to Christians. But listen to this. Paul knew that there was more of God to experience. He knew that they needed more. The question that I would have is, did they know that? Maybe not. And maybe that's one of the reasons why he's praying. Maybe that's one of the things that we should pray for one another, or even ourselves, that we would know that there is more of God to experience, that we would know that God wants to reveal more of himself to us. Oh, indeed. You know, I do some crazy things and get into some pretty crazy conversations with God because I like to think about him, and I like to think about his word and the things that I read, and I like to think, you know, like Jason's a thinking man, and he has some time to do that when he's driving. And I know, because we get into conversations, I can tell that he thinks deeply about the things of God, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, you know, I understand how in my life and in the lives of those I love, which is all of you, how hardship, when we come through it and are on the other side of it, right, makes us really appreciative for the good times in our life. In other words, the contrast that we have by experiencing both good and trials, hardship, actually ends up allowing us to really give thanks even more for the good. Are you following me? You know that's true in all of our lives. When we've gone through those hard things and then we're in that time where the blessings are really coming and are evident in our life, it's even more precious and sweet to give thanks because we know the comparison, right? We talked before about how it's a terrible thing if a child is raised, you know, without ever having to do anything for himself or herself, always provided for, always given everything that they've ever asked, you know, and you basically you spoil them. The problem is that appreciation actually goes down as that spoiling goes up. Am I right? And so with this principle understood, I said to the Lord one time, now please know that this is an actual conversation between the Lord and I, so I'm letting you in a little bit to my prayer closet. So I said, Lord, I know how this works in my life, so I have a really pressing question for you. I said, when I get to heaven, and everything I read, you know, heaven is all good. I said, you know, and we're going to be there perhaps for a long time if you tarry coming back, right, in the present heaven. And even when he does come back, we're going to be with you forever on the new earth. All good, right? All good. Nothing bad. I said, aren't we going to be just become spoiled, rotten children? Doesn't that make sense? All good, no bad. And I'm praying about this and praying about this. And you know how God just begins to speak to you. Now, not with an audible voice, typically, right? But in your thoughts, you know, if you're contemplative, if you're a thinking person, if you quiet yourself before him, maybe to get out your prayer journal and listen when you pray, shut up and listen. And as I did, do you know what really I believe he said to me? Something I'll never forget and something very powerful to bring into our message today. He said, John, don't you know that in heaven, every day will be a deeper experience of me? I'll reveal to you something new about myself every day, so that every day the contrast is that that day will be better than the day before. Buddy, I got excited. If that doesn't bless you, your blesser's busted. I mean to tell you, think about it. Think about that. There's the contrast. You get up there and sure it's good until the next day comes and it's better. It's like the pastor we used to have in Johnstown. He was a Southern, you know, guy, and he I loved him. He played the bass guitar and always a really good guy. Pastor Gary Tustin. I still love him deeply. And he would say, you know what? Every day with God gets gooder and gooder. Gooder and gooder. I may not be the best English, but it sure makes the point, doesn't it? And you see, that's the thing. That's what Paul is understanding. He's understanding this and he prays for them. Don't get complacent where you are. Understand, my highest prayer for you is that you would understand who God is. You would come to know Him more and more and more and more every day. So he keeps asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, the Father full of glory, to give you something that makes it possible. And what does he ask for? What does he ask for in verse 17? That he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. I got to tell you, and I probably shouldn't take the time, but I can't stop. I had a real blessing last week. Not this week, but the week before. And I was able to meet an incredible woman of God. And I was blown away by this woman. She is probably, I would say, in her late 80s. And she shares the same background as I do. Catholic. In fact, she still is very much a devout Catholic. But some time ago, maybe 15 or 16 years, if I remember her story right, she had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. A real true, earth-shaking, life-changing encounter with the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And it changed her life. And boy, you can tell it. You sit with her and the moments just fly by as she shares the story of how God filled her with His Spirit. And how, and now this is her words, but I could use the same words, how when He did, the lights came on. Come on now, church. The lights came on. How when God's Spirit came into her, the lights came on. Listen, what happened is she became aware of who God is. She became aware of His holiness. She became aware of His personal nature. She became aware of His blessings, His love, in such a deeper way than she had ever experienced before. It changed her life forever. She is incredible. And there she is, suffering with cancer right now. And she's beaming with God's Spirit. Beaming, I mean glowing with God's Spirit, filled to the brim. I mean to tell you, God filled her. It shows, it's just oozing out of her. And I said, can I pray for you? She cocks her head a little bit and she says, what are you going to pray? I don't know if I've ever been asked that before, but I said, I would really like to pray Psalm 139 over you. Psalm 139, she knew it. She said, what are you going to pray, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? I said, no, I know that too, but that's not the verse that I was thinking about. What's the verse? She said, I said this verse. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I said, I would like to pray that God does not cut short one of your days that He has ordained for you. She said, that's the right prayer. Go ahead. Do you understand what she understood? She understood that God was in control. She understood that if God wanted to heal her, He could. If He wanted to take her, He could. And it wasn't up for her, it was up to Him. And she was okay with that. You know how powerful that is? You know how powerful that is? to have a faith that strong, to have a faith that, and a trust that deep. You know how she got it? With an experience of God, a true, deep experience of God's Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation entered her and stayed with her. Amen? The lights came on, and she began to walk in that light. She began to see things that others can't. Amen? In other words, as Paul went on to elaborate on what he wanted the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to do for the Ephesians, she was experiencing. Paul said this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he's called you." Now, I did not pick the songs this morning. And matter of fact, when I saw the song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart," I said to my wife, "Did you read my sermon?" To which she replied, "No." She didn't tell me that she didn't need to go to sleep or anything like that to read it. But she was kind and said, "No, just no, I didn't read your sermon." But she picked that song. And I said, "You know what? I love it when that happens. Don't you love it when God gives you a confirmation?" I mean, we need those things, right? Such a confirmation that we're in tune, that we're hearing from Him, that we're on the right page. And isn't it a wonderful thing? Well, that's what the Spirit of wisdom and revelation wants to do for you. To open the eyes of your heart, your spiritual seer. Amen? We need that, church. We need to be able to discern what's going on in our life and the life of our families. We need to be able to discern it with God's Spirit. And indeed, that's what He wants. Do you see why this could be Paul's highest prayer for the ones he loved the most? "Lord, I want them to know you better. I want the eyes of their heart to be opened that they may know the hope of their calling." And you know, that's what I want for you, for me, for my family. I really do think it's the great high prayer that your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones, that they too would come to know God in such a deep way, and that they would have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of their heart would be opened, and that they would know the hope of their calling. They would know the blessings that they have in Christ, and that they would be able then, together with us, to give thanks. Amen? To give thanks. You know, we're going to have communion now. And it's a great fitting close to this message. And I have 17 more pages of notes, but you know me, I always do that. I love to study, but the truth is, the message is already delivered. Amen? And now you get to receive. You get to partake of something that when the Lord stood up at that Last Supper, which was the inaugural event for communion, right? He told us at that Last Supper, He told His disciples that rippled through every Christian church ever since, "Do this in remembrance of Me," right? Communion. But do you know how He began communion? Giving thanks. When He took the cup, He gave thanks. When He took the bread, He gave thanks. As we take it today, the elements of remembrance of our salvation, let's allow the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to speak to our individual hearts, to speak into your life this morning about how much He loves you, what you have when you have Him, how great a salvation, how great of blessings that He has for you. The hope that you have, no matter what you're going through, the hope that you have in Him. Allow Him to speak that to you today. That truly, as you celebrate together with us as a family, as a church family, that there would be the giving of thanks today in this church. Amen. Let the ushers come.